Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. It's always a pleasure to be hanging around with small business owners. Let me remind you about our website, which is www.jbsba.com. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. I think you'll like it. And if you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe, to take your name off of our list yourself, than it is to subscribe. Let me tell you about our good friend John Deeney. John is the president of Management Performance Network. He's the author of 103 Tips for Better Hiring. He has the leading organization of the TAB boards that many of you have heard about and in the country, and he's based out of San Antonio, and he's our good friend. John Deeney, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be back again.
It's good to have you back. Now, what was this new award did I hear that you just got some kind of a recognition over the weekend or something?
I didn't think you were going to bring that up.
What happened there in San Antonio? Something's going on down there. What is this?
Well, it's Fiesta, and every year for Fiesta, we elect Ray Feo, the Ugly King.
Ray Feo.
Yes, he's elected.
Let me make sure we get that out. The Ugly King.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
The People's King.
I got you.
He's elected by raising the most money for scholarships for underprivileged students.
Yeah.
And I worked on his committee, and during Fiesta on Saturday night, I was inducted into the Order of the Cabrito. Now, you know, I don't know if you fellas know what cabrito is. Goat.
Oh, okay.
I was
so let me see if I got this straight. This is the Ugly King who is associated with a goat, and you became part of that group. Is that right?
Yes. He inducted me publicly as thanks for helping him raise scholarship money.
Oh, so you weren't actually the Ugly King.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
My effort would have been about $150,000 short scholarship wise to be Ugly King.
Okay.
It raises quite a bit of money.
I see. Okay. Well, that's for a good cause. But don't you think that people would work a little harder if they called him the Handsome King and gave them a stallion to ride on instead of calling him the Ugly King and give him a goat to ride on?
He's the 58th one. 58 years ago, I don't think they had the motivational techniques we find quite as well as they do today.
People, maybe their sensibilities were a little coarser in those days than they are now, mate.
Yeah.
John, one of the things that I know you've got on your mind, by the way, congratulations on giving back. And folks, you know, John's a great example of what I know all of you do out there. You small business owners are wonderful volunteers. We give back to our community. We try to help out whenever we can, and John's just another example of that, but a good one. And John, congratulations on your efforts for your community.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, what you got on your mind today? What do you got to say that will either help us? Of course, sometimes you frighten us a little bit, John, with some of the things you tell us.
Well, that's because sometimes it's startling and frightening to me. You know, with the presidential campaign going on, we're hearing characterizations of large corporate folks sending jobs overseas as Benedict Arnolds, as traitors to our country,
right?
And a vilifying of the Fortune 500. But a month or two ago, I was at a meeting and I met a couple, ethnically Asian, but Americans, American citizens, who have a small mom and pop physician billing company. They have. You know, they bill for individual doctors. This isn't a big operation. They one doctor, one office.
Mm-hmm.
They send his accounts into the insurance company.
They know who their customers are, don't they, and where
mm-hmm.
they live.
Very clearly.
Right.
And they have a total of 19 employees, the two of them, the husband and wife, two customer service reps who are on the phone all day handling the doctors and the insurance company's questions, and 15 billers and people who follow up in Bombay.
Hmm.
And, you know, it struck me that this isn't just the Fortune 500.
Mm-hmm.
This is down to literally mom-and-pop business levels. And if we as business owners, especially in service businesses, are not aware of how global our competitive market has become, we could get some shocks.
Well, one of the things that I've been telling people, John, is that just because you don't think of yourself as a global company doesn't mean that you're not a global company. And just because you don't sell globally doesn't mean that you don't compete globally, whether you realize it or not. And so anybody who says that they're not a global company, other than maybe, you know, maybe a restaurant, and you can probably give us an example of how that would work, they're whistling past the graveyard, aren't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. These people have, in their business, on their local level, a tremendous cost advantage.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more to come with John Deaney. He's probably going to frighten us a little bit more, but then maybe he's going to, I'm pretty sure he's going to give us a way out of this. That's coming up right after these messages. 20 till. Stay with us.
Head out on the highway, looking for adventure, and whatever comes our way. You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime.
We're back, it's 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jim Ballard is going to join us. He's going to help us gain and maintain some balance in our lives. Bill Dunkelberg is going to visit with us and give us the monthly report on what small business owners are saying about how the economy is going out there across the country. This is a monthly visit that we have with Bill. He's with the NFIB. He's the chief economist there, and he's been conducting this survey for over 30 years now. So he's gotten pretty good at it, and we're going to get him to tell us about how small businesses think about, and this would be the last month's numbers. And then we got a bunch of more folks coming up, Stephanie Vance, Jim, Jan Norman. I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. I want to get back to our good visit, our visit with our good friend John Deaney, who's with the TAB boards in San, and his particular TAB board organization is in San Antonio, Texas. John, you're talking about this outsourcing, and you were telling us a story about this, really what is truthfully a mom and pop storefront downtown. Anybody would consider it to be a true classic small business, less than 20 employees or so probably, but three-fourths of those employees are offshore, aren't they?
Absolutely. And, of course, they are paying them, I don't know what they're paying them, but even if they're paying them a healthy middle-class wage, it's 80% less than they would have to pay the same people in this country.
Now, some people listening, John, would say, well, they've got a tie, they know people over there, they've got the kind of business that they can export over there. And so, you know what, and that would be true. They would have a good point there. But the thing is what we've all got to do, and I think what you're trying to get us to all realize, is that in all of our businesses, we've got to look around and see what variation of that theme is happening in our industries.
It's true. And, you know, the type of business that can be exported, if you're realistic about it, is a business done mostly on the telephone? And who among us don't do business mostly on the telephone these days? I was on the phone with a computer support group the other day, and the young fellow on the phone was pleasant and unaccented. And just out of curiosity, I said, where are you located? And he said, well, I'm in Manila in the Philippines, sir.
Huh.
And I said, it's late at night there, isn't it? And he said, yes. I said, I've read about you people. I said, is it true that You adopt American customs and American fads and hang out with other people that work American call centers and
buy American products and things like that?
And he said, well, yeah, he said, that is kind of true. And then he said, well, where are you located? And I said, San Antonio, Texas. And he proceeded to describe in great detail the Spurs game from the previous night.
Wow.
And how much he enjoyed Tim Duncan and what he had done against Carmelo Anthony. This kid was American in all but location.
Right, and ethnicity.
And ethnicity, yes.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what American ethnicity is.
Well, but the thing is he was a Filipino.
He's a citizen of the Philippines. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, for a few hundred bucks, you can rent a T1 line overseas and be in business anywhere you wish, and if you want to compete locally. There are things that you should be considering to make sure that you have a local identity, a local presence. People know who you are and can differentiate you from just a voice on the phone.
So there's two ways we can deal with this issue. Number one, we can either join them and take advantage of the cost savings, or we can, what I think you're saying is the other alternative, is we can demonstrate the extra value that our customers get from being able to see us face-to-face.
Yes. Unless you have a connection or unless you're able to drive a considerable amount of business, the number I've seen is a minimum of $3 million a year, you really can't afford to risk the quality control of your business on an overseas contract with a third party. Mm-hmm. You can't own it and control it overseas as a small business person. So your alternative, your only alternative, is to, your only practical alternative, is to compete locally and convince people that they should be doing business with you despite cost. Because believe me, cost savings, cutting your price from $1 to 80 cents, or cutting your cost from $1 to 80 cents, isn't going to get you competitive when the other side can produce it for 10 cents.
Right.
So you can't cut far enough to be competitive just on price. Mm-hmm. You have to be competitive in your differentiation.
Well, and John, you know how much I preach not even trying to be competitive on price.
Right.
How much I preach talking about, I think any small business owner that prides himself on being the cheapest is a small business waiting to become, to go out of business.
Absolutely. We don't have economies of scale. We can't put in, you know, massive best practices systems.
And John, you've heard me say this before. The price war is over and we lost.
Mm-hmm. That is true. We have to, especially as small service businesses, we have to do it by knowing our customer, knowing our differentiation, being present for them. And, you know, I'm second-guessing myself here because so many small business owners say, too much of this business is me. But it shouldn't be you on a day-to-day operating basis doing the tasks. But if you want to be a successful services business, it needs to be you in the mind of your customers.
Mm-hmm. They need to know, even if they deal with an employee of yours, they need to imagine you in the background, so to speak, making sure that all that's going well. I agree with you. That's an important part of the branding issue. And the stronger your brand is, the higher your margins can be. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with John Deeney. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. That's not 17 till, it's 7 till. One of these days I'll learn to tell time. You'd think I would by now, wouldn't you? John Deeney is our guest, and he's a pretty darn good time teller himself. He's a lot better at it probably than I am. He's our good friend, and his organization is associated with the Tab Boards. And, John, I want you to tell us a little bit about Tab Boards.
Yeah, we're a national group, Jim, and there's about 170 of us facilitating boards of small business owners, groups of 8 to 10, who meet for 4 hours a month because they don't have a board of their own. They don't have anybody to discuss where the company's going and what they're trying to accomplish.
They become each other's board, don't they?
Yes, they function. They share their experience. They share their ideas. They share the things you can't share with an employee sometimes. And we do a lot of good.
Or even with other people, like maybe even a spouse. I mean, sometimes things get... You get so deep and dark that the only people that you can share it with are the people who absolutely understand where you're coming from.
That's true, but you know, my wife works in my business with me, but her job isn't to be the most objective critic I have. I'd prefer she didn't fill that role for me.
Right, you need her to be your safe harbor sometimes too,
right?
Don't you?
Right. Her job is to support and help, not to take each of my decisions and debate them with me.
It's the rare couple that can where they can be each other's critic and safe harbor. But I have a friend, I think I may have mentioned to you, John, before, I have a friend who, when he fills his return out every year, his tax return, on the line where it says spouse, he scratches that out and writes critic over it, over the spouse. Hey, John, is your book, 103 Tips for Better Hiring, still available?
Yeah, you can get that on my website, Jim. That's tabboards.com. It's available there. And our national website, if you're interested in a tab board near you, is tabboards.com. Two B's, right. T-A-B-B-O-A-R-D-S.
And that way, at that location, you can find out where all the different boards are. And also, if you wanted to start one yourself, you could find out how to do that there.
Yes, absolutely.
And as I mentioned earlier, ladies and gentlemen, you're talking to the man who runs the number one tab board in the country. John, let's get back into this outsourcing issue. I really am glad that you've brought to our attention the fact that outsourcing is not just by the huge Fortune 100 companies. It's being done by a lot of people, and it's going to be, and really, shouldn't we stop calling it outsourcing and just call it doing business globally?
It's true. It's true. For the election time, it's a bugaboo, but the reality is it's a fact of life. We all have to live with it. It's not going to stop. It's not going to go away. Protectionism doesn't work. The economists have shown us that over and over
and over
again.
Well, not only does it not work, it's not a good thing.
No, all it gives us is a weak market, and sooner or later we find a way around it. Business always finds a way to fill a vacuum.
That's right.
I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, you were complaining about the HB1 visas. You were complaining that too many software engineers were being allowed into the United States to take American jobs. Well, congratulations, you got your wish. Now they're staying home and taking American jobs.
That's exactly right. John, we got a couple of minutes left. For those of us who can't, our business model doesn't really lend itself, or the size of our business doesn't lend itself to really taking advantage of any economies by using people in other parts of the world. Give us some more ideas on how we can make sure that we stay competitive in the face of competitors who may be able to do that.
Well, besides, you know, the obvious FaceTime and reminding people that you're local, I think there's one thing that small business owners should do more of that can never be duplicated by an overseas vendor. That's network. I'm not talking about networking for your business, going to breakfast and flipping cards at each other. Look at your customer base and your vendor base and think of who among them could do business with each other. There's nothing you appreciate more than getting a referral. Mm-hmm. And if you are a referral source, if you can go down the street and tell your customer, Bob, I think you could do business with Jack, and I think Jack should do business with you, and I'm willing to call Jack and say so. There is no one in India or China or Manila that is ever going to be able to do that.
Absolutely. You know, John, that's one of my favorite things to do in any given day that I work in the marketplace. I call it, you call it networking, and I agree with you, but I have another term for it. I call it putting good people with good people.
Mm-hmm.
And on that note, I'm going to have to stop because we got to wrap it up. But it's always fun to have you on the show. Will you join us again soon?
Absolutely. I always enjoy it, Jim.
Give us your website one more time.
TabSanAntonio.com.
Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget his book, 103 Tips for Better Hiring. Thanks, John. See you later.
Thank you, Jim.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.